This time on Weather Brains. Is it really a changing of the seasons? We look at the weather ahead for central Alabama.
We may shoot right back up into the mid or upper 80s by Friday before another round of thunderstorms rolls through here on Saturday.
Jason Simpson talks about a special ABC 3340 project involving education and the need to give teachers a hand.
We expect a lot from these teachers. We've got the No Child Left Behind. We've got the Alabama Reading Initiative here in Alabama. They have to spend so much time reading every day with these students. They have aptitude tests, the Stanford Achievement Test. They're expected to do all these different things and teach all these extremely difficult science items.
Plus, a Weather Brains Extra, a Birmingham man's Colorado campout. The weather can surprise you when you spend 10 days camping in tents in the Rocky Mountains.
And at night, it reached 22, and there was snow on the ground.
And
didn't we watch football games for about 10 hours?
The Havana Junction Heatmaker. J.B. Elliott's football skills are revealed during a weekend gathering at Jason's place.
J.B.'s punt actually started in Alabaster, where I live, and I think it came to rest somewhere in South Jemison.
That and more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about weather, put together by a bunch of weather geeks out of Birmingham, Alabama. I'm one of those geeks, David Black, with the Weather Company, and with me for this edition of Weather Brains, very special weather geek, Jason Simpson from ABC 3340 and J.B. Elliott, the infamous Mr. Elliott. Jason, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. Been a little bit busy today, going all over the place. Been to Jasper and to Cullman today, and then back to Birmingham. But
this is all, you know, business on behalf of the television station?
Yeah, all business. And we started a new program called the Golden Apple Teacher Award. So if you live in the Birmingham television market and you can watch ABC 3340, you can go to our website, abc3340.com, or go to a Food World store and pick up an application to nominate your teacher for Teacher of the Week. And then at the end of all this, after 32 weeks, we're going to pick the Teacher of the Year, and they get a nice little surprise from us and Food World.
Wow. So they really do have you traveling the state then. This is going to be going on, I guess, for a while.
All the way. I think our banquet for the teachers is going to be on June 1st. And I'm a big education buff. I love education.
That's important.
I love getting out into the schools, and especially when it comes to science. Yeah, I've been trying to work on some projects, which I'll hold off on announcing for right now because they are far, far from complete.
Let me be nosy. I know you can't say a whole lot, but is this an attempt to help boost science participation by students, curriculums?
Yes, actually. I have a sister who teaches sixth grade at Holly Pond Elementary/Middle School.
Cullman County, Alabama.
Cullman County, that's it. And, you know, I looked at her science book before school started. They got a brand new science book, and I was amazed at what's in that science book for sixth graders. There are things in there that I didn't learn until I was an introduction to meteorology. I mean, of course, J.B. Elliott's known this stuff for eons.
I don't know anything. Was anything in there about global warming?
Actually, there was.
There was.
And, you know, of course, I have my own opinions on that. But they had things on the Coriolis effect in there. If you haven't ever picked up a meteorology book and looked up the word Coriolis, then you have no idea what that is.
I thought that was one of those dirty words we used to look up when we were little kids. That's different. Never mind.
I thought it was a disease.
Yeah. Where's Brian Peters when you need him, right?
That's right.
But no, the Coriolis effect and items like that, I was just blown away. And I thought, how is a teacher who has a general education degree supposed to know how to teach this stuff? But we expect a lot from these teachers. We've got the No Child Left Behind. We've got the Alabama Reading Initiative here in Alabama. They have to spend so much time reading every day with these students. They have aptitude tests, the Stanford Achievement Test. They're expected to do all these different things and teach all these extremely difficult science items.
So how and when do they get the training?
That's the question that I'm trying to answer right now. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I've been working on a website for a while, and I put it all on the internet, and we found some pretty serious errors in there because I've been trying to write all this stuff on my own and design the website. Now, when you've been out of school for a few years and you've never really designed a website before, you're going to run into some problems. So I'm trying to get all this fixed. I've been working on it for a while, but that's not the only answer. That's part of the answer. I think there needs to be some kind of education for teachers that maybe we can provide, because as members in the media, as communicators, I think it's our responsibility to really help those teachers. Not only as a hey, we want you to watch our television station, but you know, it's important. These kids need to, when we actually teach them something, when a teacher is teaching, the kids need to learn it. They need to know why they're learning it, not just because it's in the science book. And I'm a stickler on that.
Well, they're teaching tomorrow's leaders, so I don't know of very many jobs that's more important than that.
That's right.
I'm really glad that you're doing that, and I'm glad, too, that there's an emphasis on science, because I'm going to share a short little story with you guys from this past week. You guys, if you listen to our previous Weather Brains podcast, you know that I got a very special opportunity to watch the Shuttle Atlantis launch from Cape Kennedy. And as kind of a part of that, I was able to attend a meeting that was held in Birmingham the week of the 11th of September. And the guest at the meeting is a man named Steve Cook with NASA from Huntsville at the Marshall Space Flight Center. Steve has a fascinating job. He is in charge of the new rocket program that will be replacing the shuttle program. For folks who don't know about it, the shuttle program is ending officially in 2010, not that far off, and NASA is changing, going to a whole new system of rocket launches to carry people into space. And we had a meeting with the man, Steve Cook, who's heading up this new program. He talks all about what was going on there. Very interesting stuff. But, Jason, one of the things that he said that really stuck in my mind, and this is what triggered me to talk about this with you based off your work with the school teachers, Steve mentioned the incredible shortage of American kids getting into science these days. The numbers are plunging, and it's really scary. There's going to be a real trend toward non-American students getting into the, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that's anything against non-American foreigners, but the number of American kids that are taking science-based courses, that kind of curriculum, is just falling, and they've really got concerns about where that's going to leave them, NASA, in terms of their general research capability down the road. Kind of makes you wonder. So
it does.
We need to get the young kids involved in mathematics and science and those things that, you know, so many other kids from other countries are really sharp at. We do not, if you listen to some of these people watching this in the education world today, the Americans are not leading the pack. You know, we are way behind, and it's very concerning.
It is. And JB, I'd like to ask you a direct question, and this is not a hey, JB, I'm not calling you old. But you've been around to see it. You've seen the trend going from industrialized America to more academic service based economy America. Is this something that you've noticed on you as you look out at the kids who are up and coming? And David, what I think it comes down to is there's so much emphasis placed on the business world now that you've got more MBA students coming out of places like Alabama and Auburn than you do agribusiness or engineering.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The old nuts and bolts stuff has almost disappeared.
And I can't help but think that puts us in a very precarious position economically and many other ways in future years, because you know it's a smaller planet. We're getting smaller by the week, it seems. You know, it's a tighter knit community in so many ways, and it makes me nervous. It really does.
And the mega farms continue to run the mom and pop farms out of business.
They're going away. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to see some strategies to change that. By the way, we kind of got straight off on a subject here. I meant to mention for folks listening to us, James Spann, lead meteorologist, ABC 3340 Birmingham, if you haven't figured it out, is not with us on this podcast. That's because he's out of town. Talk about somebody who's busy in his daily social and business life. He has so many other commitments besides all of the work he does in television, but he had a commitment taking him out of town, out of state for a couple of days, but he'll be back with us on the next Weather Brains, and we'll see what's going on with him. Well, guys, from looking at the weather in Alabama, you know, we're taping this, recording this on the beginning of the week on the 18th of September, so we know folks will be listening during the next few days and during the week, but I'm kind of getting the impression that the heat of summer is saying adios. It sure has felt nice across central Alabama with some of the cooling storms passing through, so we can enjoy that, it sounds like, for another, what, couple of days maybe, or what's ahead?
Looks like it'll be more than that. We won't really warm back up even over the weekend to anything unusually warm, and we'll have another cold front coming through. Late in the weekend and turning us cooler again. So there's just nothing on the horizon right now in the way of 100 and 102 degree heat or anything like that.
Well, is it safe to say then that that typical summertime pattern is pretty much history for this year, do you guys think?
Not totally, I don't believe. Yeah. Jason may have an opinion on that too, but
because sometimes
we have had temperatures in the 90s into October.
Right. Sometimes it'll spike back up on us. So I didn't know if we can count on this or not.
Well, you know, I was looking just a few moments ago at the 12Z run of the Japanese model, and by 192 hours out, which is the very last panel on that, well into next week, that it had another 590 height circle at 500 millibars over the southeastern U.S. So, you know, if you take the Japanese model at its word, it thinks we're going to get at least one more blast of heat before September's over. And that would not surprise me given the global pattern right now, because we've got a very high amplitude pattern for September. You know, we went from... Gosh, from having those that flat ridge over the U.S. and all that heat that just kept on building and building, break for a day or two and come back. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all that we had tornadoes in Minnesota yesterday, and all that severe weather up in the Plain States. We had a pretty raucous squall line come through here today. Now, we didn't have severe weather with it, but we had showers early this morning. Then we had that squall line come through this afternoon. Some really heavy rain in just a brief amount of time. You know, squall lines aren't that big. They aren't that deep. So as it passed through, I think JB rounded up some reports on the blog of well over an inch of rain in some places here in central Alabama. So this high amplitude pattern that we're in, you're going to get days where it's cool, like what we'll see after the front passes tomorrow, and then we may shoot right back up into the mid or upper 80s by Friday before another round of thunderstorms rolls through here on Saturday.
And in the meantime, I assume dew points will be dropping, so the nights ought to feel pretty pleasant.
Yeah, JB, what do you think about that? What's your low temperature for tomorrow morning, or not tomorrow morning, but Wednesday morning, Thursday morning? What do you think about that?
Wednesday morning, 50, and Thursday morning, 48. If that 48 verifies, it will be the lowest temperature we've had since last spring.
Man.
What are the records there? I'm not sure. I believe the records this week were in the low 50s. Not that we broke them, but...
Well, all we have to have is a week of that kind of weather, and people say, okay, summer's gone, we bring out the sweaters and stuff, and then we could get the little surprise like you're talking about later, and things warm back up again, but sure does feel nice. How's this for a refreshing change from summer? Birmingham resident Mikey Gedenthikis is one of 10 people just back from 10 days of tent camping in the mountains of southwest Colorado. Does that not sound nice? Mikey was ready for changing weather, and he says that's exactly what his group got.
The first day it was a little chilly, then the next 3 or 4 days in the daytime it'll reach about 70 to 75 degrees, and night it will be around 40. And the last 2 days, they had a bad storm come through. It will rain almost all day long, about 60 degrees. And at night, it reached 22, and it was snow on the ground.
22? That has to be quite a change from what you've had in Birmingham.
Yes, yes.
So what were your camping facilities like?
Just tents, in tents.
Where'd you camp?
We were camped up in the mountains about... 9,200 feet.
Pretty refreshing weather?
Oh, yes. No oxygen, though. Hard to walk.
What'd you guys do?
We were elk hunting.
And how'd you do?
We did fairly well. We got 3 bulls and 1 female cow, as they call it. The largest one was about 820 pounds.
So tell me more about the weather and the scenery.
Scenery was beautiful, a lot of grass. They didn't have very bad weathers before that, so all the grass was still green, and, you know, the leaves were still green. Of course, whatever trees drop their leaves, they haven't dropped them yet. Up top where the highest mountain there, I think, is about 14,000 feet, if I'm correct, it had snow all the time.
You were in a little bit of snow?
The last day when we were leaving, we probably had an inch of snow where we were camping, but that was it. But up top where it was, you know, the highest mountains, we didn't go all the way up high there, huh? It had snow all the time we were there.
Were you prepared for the cold weather?
Yes. Yes, I had went last year again, so, you know, the weather changes. It can be sunny, and in an hour, dark clouds will come in, and it starts blowing where it can blow your tent over, and it can start hailing, snowing, raining, in, you know, in an hour.
For people who want to maybe go camping in Colorado like you did, what would your advice be to them?
Get warm clothes and clothes to change, because the weather can change dramatically this time of year.
Would you go on a trip like this again?
Yes. I love the outdoors, that's why.
You camped in different places during the trip?
No, just one place.
So you pretty much stayed in one area?
Well, yeah, we were camped at the area, but we will walk up the mountains. You know, we were camped at 9,200 feet, but we walked all the way up to 12,000 feet.
What was the scenery like?
Very beautiful. Quiet, peaceful, you know, green all over the place, but chilly sometimes at night.
What'd you do with the elk?
We bagged it and brought it back home, and we're going to process it, make like hamburger meat and, you know, cube steak and all that stuff.
Elk makes pretty good hamburgers?
Yes. Well, you have to mix a little pork fat or something in with it, but it makes pretty good hamburgers.
How do you like that? That's an annual tradition for Mikey Kedenthikis and his group, and he says he, needless to say, will be taking that same trip again next year. Wouldn't that be nice, camping in the mountains of Colorado? Kind of cool at night, though. Feels good, though, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. That his story about the hail reminded me of the movie Black Sheep with David Spade and Chris Farley. They're out in the mountains of Washington, and the roof blows off the cabin they're staying in, and it starts hailing on them just out of nowhere.
I guess you've got to be ready for anything.
Yeah, you do. It's much, much different out west. You know, I know JB spent extensive time out there in the mountains. I've actually never been to the Rockies.
You ever done any camping out there, JB?
Yeah, in southwest Colorado, in fact.
Well, that's where these guys were. Maybe you guys were in the same area.
Vallecito Reservoir, way up high, and the mountains were even higher, like the gentleman mentioned. And also west of Pagosa Springs, and we've been up on the Gunnison River, not camping, but we've spent some time up there, and just all over, pretty much all over the west. A lot of camping in southern Utah at 9,200 feet, the same elevation. Mm. I mean, 9,200 feet, the same elevation that he mentioned.
Wow.
At Duck Creek Reservoir.
Bet you've seen some pretty country out there.
Oh, yes, it's beautiful. It also gets very cold at night, and Jude and I usually had to sleep in the back of the pickup truck with our sleeping bags, and so Judy was raised in the Arizona desert, so if it gets under 85 degrees, she gets cold.
Well, you know, if you were going to take that trip now, you'd have to keep Miss Molly warm if you had her out there.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Wrapped around a bale of cotton or something.
The Great Smoky Mountains have always struck me as just beautiful. That's the Lord's country, but I can imagine, too, just the majesty that you feel and that I've felt when you are out in the Rockies. They're just they're hard to compare. Just a real, real special place to be.
But, you know, I like the Appalachians almost as well. I think they're very, very pretty. There's a state that I've never been to that I really want to visit. And that's West Virginia.
Lots of pretty places in this country to go see. So maybe you can get to do that. Take Jason and the Storm Chaser.
Jason's we'll go up there and watch a football team.
Jason's neighbor is from West Virginia.
That's right, he is. He went to the University of Marshall.
Yeah, and so is Pam Huff. She's from West Virginia.
Yeah,
that's right.
Lots of people hail from that area. Well, guys, let me ask you for a little tropical update. I wanted to mention one thing that's with the systems that we've had in the Atlantic the past couple of systems. They have in fact seemed to conform to some of the predictions we've heard from James Spann, Dr. William Gray, who we talked with at Colorado State recently. These are Atlantic storms curving out and staying in the Atlantic, so they're sticking with the predictions, and I'm just kind of curious to see what we have ahead from this point. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, NOAA came out with an El Nino. We talked about that a couple of months ago when it, I guess back in July maybe, since I rarely get to frequent the program unless we record it a little bit earlier. But, we talked about the negative SOI, the Southern Oscillation Index, and there is officially now a weak El Nino, which usually puts a cap on the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean, and oftentimes that area of the Atlantic that would send something into the Gulf. Still not to say it couldn't happen, but I think that the revised forecast is a whole lot better than what we had in the spring. To be fair, there was a lot of media hype over that, and I think the media kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah. Well, I do recall Dr. William Gray in that last interview again saying that he did not see October being as active a month because of the coming El Nino, so that all matches up. I guess what your attention has to turn to at this point then is to see if any storms do develop closer in, such as the Southern Gulf, for example. That would perhaps be a better position for something to cause a problem for the Gulf Coast if it were going to.
Right. Now, was it 10 years ago or 11 years ago that we had Opal in October, early October? Was it? I can't remember, 95 or 96.
I want to say 95. I can't promise that's right, though, but I sure do. That was a rain-making storm.
Boy, it wasn't 96. It was either 95 or 94.
Must have been 95.
I was thinking 94, but I believe 95 is correct.
I think the folks in Mobile County, Baldwin County, just kind of floated away.
Yeah, that was quite a storm, and had Opal not weakened before it got to the northwest Florida coast landfall, we would have had a terrible situation on our hands.
Well, it's all pretty quiet for right now, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Looks like it. Now, there have been some interesting conversations around the internet about the remnants of Lane from the Pacific that made landfall in Baja California. It's kind of linked up with this cold front that's coming through here today, and there are some out there who kind of want to generate something in the Gulf of Mexico from the remnants of Lane, which, I mean, to me seems like a stretch. When I look at the upper and mid-level charts that go out, 4 or 5 days from now, it just doesn't look that favorable. I've been wrong before, but it doesn't look favorable to me.
And the models can change in one run if they so desire.
Oh, wow, sure they can.
They're kind of like temperamental people sometimes. Oh, you know what I've been saying the past several runs for the past few days? Never mind. I'm changing my mind.
Why not?
Let's have it, David. Let's have it.
Temperamental. All right, guys. Anything else?
Jason's football extravaganza Saturday was exciting.
I wanted to ask you about the extravaganza.
Okay.
There were some photographs on the ABC 3340 weather blog of a pretty impressive-looking football player there. Jason, how'd you get this guy to kick some over the fence?
Well, I'll tell you what, J.B. Elliott, he is a he could give the Colquitt family, that produced those classic punters up at Tennessee. They had some of the best punters in the country. J.B. Elliott and the Colquitts go well together. JB, he maintains it in that picture. His punt was blocked by a grasshopper. But as you know, pictures can be very deceiving. They can be very deceiving. There's a picture of me being tackled by a 9-year-old. So JB's punt actually started in Alabaster, where I live, and I think it came to rest somewhere in South Jamison.
How would you rate his passing game, Jason?
He's a slinger.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well, Peyton kind of throws over the top. I would equate him more to maybe Trey Rutland at Mississippi State.
Okay.
Which is not really a good thing. I'm sorry, JV.
He can put some power into the throws when he wants.
He can. Boy, I tell you, what did James say? The Havana heat maker.
Yes. Yes, Havana Junction heat maker.
Havana Junction heat maker. That's right.
And how many hot dogs and football games and hamburgers were taken in?
Whew. Oh, there's no telling. We made 15 burgers, and all those were gone.
Massive quantities.
There were several of our associates from ABC 3340 who came down. Of course, JB brought some really good cookies. Josh Johnson down in Meridian, he and his friend Tara made some of the best cookies I've ever had in my life. And JB loved those, didn't you, JB?
Yes, I did.
What kind of cookies?
they were chocolate chip cookies. Ooh. And you just wouldn't believe how good they were. Had some great wings from Vicky Hearn from 3340, and we just had a good time. We had three televisions set up. We had the Auburn LSU game, we had Michigan Notre Dame, and Miami Louisville all going at the same time, and that just went on through the night. It was great.
Man, no shortage of sports and no shortage of cookies. It doesn't get much better than that.
No.
Didn't we watch football games for about 10 hours?
It started at 11:30, and actually 11 hours, because the last game didn't end until 10:30.
I've been hearing that this was so popular, Jason. I'm hearing talk that this is going to become a weekly event at your place. Is that correct?
I don't think so.
Okay. I just thought we'd give you that chance to dispel that rumor if you wanted.
You know, what we need to do is rent out a drive-in theater and do it that way. Well, that way we can have all our Weather Brains folks, all our Sky Watchers. I think that would be great.
Be an interesting turnout. Probably be a motley crew if for nobody else, for the Weather Brains crew that was there. But I did want to tell you guys something about the weekend get-together. I'm really impressed because I scanned the newspaper Monday, okay? I went through the crime reports. I did not see any arrests from this area in Alabaster over the weekend.
No, there were none. JB.
You guys did really well.
JB was our spokesman to the police.
Oh, okay. So
we sent him to the door every time they came.
Oh, okay. That explains.
We are very civilized. We're geeks, but we're civilized geeks.
We are very civilized geeks.
Well, I'm proud of you guys for being socially responsible and just keeping it cool and having a good time. I know folks really enjoyed that.
But that one punt that I did literally did just go 3 yards and only to a height of 8 inches. And it literally was blocked by a grasshopper.
Must have been a big grasshopper is all I can figure.
It was. It scared me.
Man.
It was about the size of, a Honda? Wasn't that what blocked it? Maybe okay. We'll try to do it again before the season's over.
Well, sounds good. If you'd like to contact us here at Weather Brains, our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you'd like to leave a voicemail on our voicemail line, that number is 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482. A reminder that the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are strictly those of the people saying them and are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. On behalf of Jason Simpson and JB Elliott, I'm David Black. We thank you for listening and hope you'll be able to join us again next time for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios. Guys, thanks. That's fun. That's cool.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, definitely did. Have to do that again next week.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to join you all after all.
Do it anytime you can. It's always fun to have you on board.